Before I begin my lesson tonight, I just want to say a word or two. I want to thank the elders of this congregation, and I want to thank the members of this congregation. You have been so kind and so supportive all week. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I consider this a very high honor to be asked to come to Woodbine and to share with you. And I want you to know what an honor this has been for me. You know, starting Sunday morning and concluding tonight, we have had friends from the community for which we are grateful. I've had friends from Wingate, from Gilroy, Woodson Chapel, Gladstone, and my friends right here at Woodbine. And I want you to know what an honor this has been for me. We started out and using as a theme for this gospel meeting, we were just going to talk about Jesus. There are a lot of things that we could have talked about, but I thought we'd just talk about Jesus. I really didn't know of anything, anybody, that we could have talked about that the world needs to hear any more about than just Jesus. Sunday morning in our Bible hour at 9 o'clock, we talked about Jesus, the answer to man's problems. And Sunday morning at worship, we talked about Jesus making the difference in my life. And Sunday night, we talked about listen to the blood of Jesus Christ. Last evening, we shared together when we said, I believe in the one they call Jesus. And to bring this gospel meeting to a close, tonight I just want us to bring everything together. And I've entitled this lesson, Hallelujah, What a Savior. When I think about what Jesus Christ is, when I think about what Jesus Christ has done, when I think about that one day we'll stand before Him in judgment, and with great anticipation to hear Him say, Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Tonight I just say, Hallelujah! What a Savior that loved us so much to leave heaven and come to this earth and to die that we might live with Him. As a preacher for many, many years, let me tell you where one of the most exciting places in Nashville is. It's not some nightclub around here. It's not some party around here where they've got some loud music going on. It's not downtown at some of these places, the Wild Horse? Not that I've ever been down there, but you know I hear it advertised all the time. It's not down at the Wild Horse or over at the Mad Cow. I want to tell you where the greatest and most exciting place in Nashville is. It's at Baptist Hospital. And that's not the emergency room. It's on the third floor. The minute the elevator door is open and you get off, there's grannies, there's aunts, there's uncles, there's brothers, there's sisters, and everybody's trying to crowd around a little piece of glass that's about twice as big as my hands are because there's a newborn baby on the other side of that glass. And I tell you what some of the biggest lies in town are told right there around that piece of glass. You see, they start out, they say, oh, that child's not but just a few hours old. And it's got somebody's feet and somebody's toes and somebody's fingers and somebody's nose and somebody else's ear. Everybody wants to be a part of that child. Everybody's excited. Everybody's a-hugging and everybody's a-kissing. And everybody says, oh, look, it looks just like me. And I pass by there, you know, being a preacher, go to see somebody that's having a child. And I go down there and look at that baby. Everybody's saying, it looks just like me. And I look at them and I look at the baby. I look back at them and I said, that child don't look as ugly as any of you do. You know, please don't put that on that child. But it's an exciting place. And you've been down there. Your grandmothers and granddaddies and moms and dads and aunts and uncles, you've been there. And you know the excitement that's there. You know how excited everybody gets when a newborn baby We all get excited. But I'm here to tell you tonight about the love of Jesus Christ that is more exciting, more moving, more motivating than all of the babies that have ever been born at all of the hospitals put together throughout the world. Oh, when a child comes into the world, it is an exciting time. And everybody wants to be a part. I've been there. And it is exciting. But to know that Jesus Christ loves us and that Jesus Christ has died for us, that's far more exciting. And to know that wherever I am in life, in my life, that Jesus Christ can cleanse me and make me whole and set me free from my sins. All of us have heard the little nursery rhyme. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's men and all the king's horses couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. You see, Humpty Dumpty was an egg. And when Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall, he was shattered and cracked and broke. And there are a lot of people's lives today, much like Humpty Dumpty. Their lives have been shattered. And their lives are broke. And they're shattered by sin. And they're broken because they're separated from Almighty God. And I tell you what, as the little nursery rhyme says, all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But I'm here to tell you, we don't need all the king's horses and we don't need all the king's men, because we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who can take our lives and put our lives back together again. Tonight, the road to healing is the same for every single one of us. Our failures, our faults, our differences may be different. But the road to healing is the same. Because the road to healing comes from Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, I'm here tonight to tell you that when we hurt, our Heavenly Father hurts. As a father, when your children hurt, don't you hurt? I remember when Brittany was just a baby. Had to carry her over to the doctor, and Carrie ended up taking her over to the hospital. She had a kidney infection. She was, I don't know, about 2 or 3 years old. They were going to put that little tube in her. She was screaming. She was kicking. I told Faye, I said, I'll be out in the hall. I couldn't watch it. I couldn't stand to see and to bear what they were about to do. Even though I knew it was going to help her. Even though I knew it would make her well. And I knew that if they didn't do that, that what might happen? You see, when I hurt, my Heavenly Father hurts for me. When I hurt, my Heavenly Father is in tune to my needs. When we rejoice, I believe our Heavenly Father rejoices with us. I don't think that God is just there for me whenever I get down on my knees and pray to Him. I don't think He's just there for me whenever I say, now let's pray, and I say, Heavenly Father. I think He's there all the time. I think He's watching over me in the good times and in the bad times. And yes, He likes for me to talk to Him. Hallelujah. What a Savior that is there to lift me up, to pick me up, to encourage me along the way. I tell you, one of the passages in the Bible that I do not completely understand. I believe it, but I don't completely understand it. And it's a golden text of the Bible. It's John 3:16-17. You say, Wendell Byrd, how could you stand up there and preach and say, you don't understand it? Let me tell you why I don't understand it. The text simply says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through His only begotten Son might be set free, might be saved, might have eternal life, might not have the burden of sin and guilt on Him anymore. I don't understand how God could love me so much that He could send His Son to die for me. I don't understand how God could love me so much that He could set me free from bondage and sin. How that He could have such a wonderful place. Jesus said, "And I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And while I go, you know in the way." And Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not where thou goest. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said unto him, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14:1-6. I don't understand completely in my little mind how much God loves me. I do not understand in my little mind, but I believe that God loves me. And I believe when I stand in judgment that Jesus Christ, if I've continued to be faithful unto His Word, that He's going to say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys prepared from the foundations of the world. For I believe as you. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. And I am grateful for that gift. That eternal gift with Jesus Christ." Hallelujah! What a Savior that could love me so much and die on the cross for my sins. You know what, if one of the elders out at Woodson Chapel where I attend, if one of the elders came to me, or one of the elders over here at Wingate, or one of the elders here at Woodbine, if you wanted to come to me and they say, "Wendell, we got a deal to make with you. The sins of mankind's never been paid for. They've never been forgiven. But if you would give your daughter, then the sins of mankind can be forgiven. But let me tell you a little bit about it before I do. Your daughter's going to be slapped. She's going to be spit upon. They're going to beat her so hard that literally her insides, her intestines, are going to hang out. Then they're going to take some big nails. Wonder about the only thing I could compare it to would be something like a railroad spike. And they're going to drive those into her hands. And they're going to cross her legs. And they're going to drive nails to hold her legs together. She's going to be pulling constantly against those nails in her hands. And her breathing is going to be cut off and shallow. She's going to have not only the pain of her back, against that raw wooden cross, but the force of her body pulling down and the agony, she's going to also have a very difficult time breathing. And with the body pulling down like it is and her legs crossed and nailed together, she's going to have a cramp in her legs and in her hips like you have never known in all of your life. But if you will allow us to do that to your daughter, then the world can be saved. As much as I would like for the world to be saved, I'd probably have to turn and say, "No, I'm sorry, but no. I cannot put my daughter through that, not even for me. But God did. God put His Son through every bit of that for me, for you." No wonder then that Jesus from that garden could say, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. This cup of anguish, this cup of pain. I know what I'm about to face. But if there's no other way, then Your will be done. I don't know about you, but I'm just absolutely allergic to pain. Some people are allergic to poison ivy. I'm allergic to pain. I don't want to be around it. I don't want to have it. I tell you what, I kick and fight when they go to give me a shot. I'm the biggest baby there is when it comes to hurting me. But Jesus allowed the Roman soldiers to put Him to the cross so that you could live, so that I could live. So that your sins would be forgiven, so that my sins would be forgiven. God did not send His Son to die for the sins of mankind. Because we were so good, God didn't look down one day and say, you know, everybody is so good, the world is so good, I think I'm going to just send my Son down there and allow Him to die. No, no, no. It was just the opposite. He saw that the world was so sinful. And He wanted us to know that He loved us so much. So He was willing to allow His Son to come to this earth and die the horrible death that He died, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Matter of fact, in the book of Romans, chapter 5 and in verse 8, Paul says, and God commanded His love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And from Romans 5 and in verse 10, it is there that the great apostle Paul says that we are enemies. But then he says we have been reconciled. And the word reconcile simply means that we have been made friends again through the one they call Jesus. We have been made friends again because of Jesus Christ. We have been made alive. We have been moved out of darkness into light by the one they call Jesus. Tonight, hallelujah! What a Savior for the world. In 1 John 4 and in verse 16, John writes and John says that God is love. And God is just that. I wish it were possible tonight for me to tell you how much God loves you. I can read it in the Bible. I can see it. I believe it. But again, like John 3:16, it's hard for me to really understand how much God loves us. But in 1 Peter 5 and in verse 7, Peter says, casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. And in Matthew the 6th chapter, the great Sermon on the Mount, and in verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Or from Matthew 10 and in verse 29, are there not two sparrows sold for farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I believe these verses of Scripture help us to realize and help us to know how much Jesus Christ loves us. And the words that echo from the cross as Jesus hung suspended between heaven and earth when He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm going to share with you a true story. It took place many years ago. In Paris, France, there was a portrait painter and a landscape artist by the name of Messenger. He was perhaps one of the most famous painters of that day and time in Paris, France. And late one night, he called the leading physician, the number one doctor in Paris, France, and told him in panic, he said, "It's an emergency. It's at my house. Get here as quick as you can. Hurry, hurry, hurry," and hung the phone up. And the physician very quickly came to the home where Messenger lived. Messenger was very anxiously waiting for him at the door. And he opened the door and the doctor came running in. And the doctor said, "Where do I need to go? Who is it?" And Messenger carried him back through the house, back to a back sun porch. And there on the sun porch was his little poodle dog. And the doctor said, "I'm not a veterinarian. I'm not touching that dog." And Messenger said, "I wanted the best for him. He's like a family member. Please, doctor, please, you're the best. You're recognized everywhere as the best doctor. Will you help my dog?" And the doctor was aggravated and disgusted. But he did. And he helped the dog. When he got up, Messenger told him, he said, "How much, doctor, do I owe you?" And the doctor said, "I don't know." He said, "Come by my office in a few days and I'll tell you." And Messenger went by the doctor's office. And he went in and he said, "How much? You have made my dog well. How much? Any amount you tell me, I'll pay you." And he carried him over to another room. In that room, there stood an old white medicine cabinet with a cheap quart of paint and an old paintbrush. And he said, "You are a painter, aren't you?" And Messenger said, "Well, I'm a portrait painter and a landscape artist." He said, "But you are a painter, right?" And he said, "Yes, I'm a painter." He said, "Well, paint that cabinet with this cheap white paint and we'll be even." Messenger looked at the doctor and he said, "Do you need this cabinet for several days?" And the doctor turned around without ever looking him in the face and said no and slammed the door behind him. Messenger painted on that old white medicine cabinet for several days. And then he called the famous doctor in and said, "I want you to come in and see it." When the doctor walked in, tears began to roll down his face. And when Messenger died, his masterpiece was not on a piece of canvas or on a ceiling in some cathedral, but his masterpiece is that old white medicine cabinet that he painted for the doctor. You see, the doctor had bitterness in his heart. Because even though Messenger was probably more famous than the doctor as a portrait painter, a landscape artist, and he thought that he would put him in his place by painting that white cabinet, because he had asked him to help his little dog. It is said that the doctor turned to Messenger and said, "Will you ever forgive me, please? Will you forgive me?" The cross of Jesus says, I already have forgiven you. I have forgiven you. Tonight, I don't know of anybody in the world that loves you any more than Jesus. I don't know tonight of anybody in all the world that's done more for us than Jesus. I don't know tonight anybody in all of the world that can help you any more than Jesus.